Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, the money war. There are a couple different ways that movements can form, and there are a couple different ways that movements can disappear or evaporate. We go into that as, unfortunately, the crackdown continues in Canada, and the war on American banking or your dollars, it might be coming here very, very soon. So you must keep your eye out for that, and that and so much more. So email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. Very thankful for all of you that get behind the work we are doing at charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, where we are playing offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war, go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Where every single day we are making hope happen by starting high school and college chapters at Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. If you want to email me, you could do so by emailing me freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support to get behind the work we are doing every single day. charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. I want to ask the question, how do demonstrations end? How do movements end? So there's only three ways that demonstrations or movements end, whether it be the BLM demonstrations or the Civil Rights Act demonstrations, or the Civil Rights demonstrations, or protests around gas prices. There's only three ways that they end. Number one, people lose steam. They lose the will to fight. They just don't want to continue to contest for whatever it is that they're pushing for. They're like, I'm just going to kind of go home, and they disappear or they fade out. Number two, they get what they want. That's the second, of course, easiest way. They make a demand and they get what they want. The civil rights movement could probably say that, you know, that was probably one of the reasons why those demonstrations, those sit-ins ended after the Civil Rights Act. But number three is the most popular way to end demonstrations. Number three is the brutal way. They are crushed. The third way is exactly what is happening right now in Ottawa. Justin Trudeau has executed in real time right now, as you hear my voice, he has basically infantry members with, they're pretty close to tanks if you look at them. I mean, at the very least, they're heavily armored vehicles. I think that's fair to say, but they're almost combat ready. People on the streets of Ottawa, full military gear, ready for what seems to be a conflict, a crackdown. Trudeau has officially announced a couple days ago that the demonstrations in Ottawa will cease to exist. Ottawa police say, quote, protesters have put children between police operations and the unlawful protest site. The children will be brought to a place of safety. Justin Trudeau is trying, and his willing police officers that are working alongside of him are equating the truckers, the peaceful protesters in Canada, with ISIS. Now, we love the police on this program. However, if a police officer lays a hand on a peaceful protester, a freedom lover in Ottawa, they are complicit in this tyranny. They should resign, and they should stand in solidarity with the protesters against the government. They probably won't do that, unfortunately. Seems like many of the police officers are perfectly comfortable with cracking down on the people of Canada. But this is happening in real time. And that third way that movements tend to cease operations by crushing the people, it doesn't usually end well at all. It doesn't end well for the government. It doesn't end well for the protesters themselves. The Ottawa police are now saying that they are going to be arresting children who are on the front lines. They say, we are going to put them to a place of safety. Ottawa police have already said you're not allowed to have animals in the protest site. We're going to take them away from you, basically kidnapping people's dogs from them. The Ottawa police are now saying that the peaceful occupation of Ottawa, peaceful, is a bigger threat than when 30 churches burned during the summer of BLM, Floydapalooza in Canada, when Justin Trudeau took a knee in solidarity with the people of BLM all throughout Canada, even though it didn't happen in Canada. But there's a deeper game at play here than just the police in the streets of Ottawa. There's another thing that is happening, and that is the money war. Now, the fate of the protesters in downtown Ottawa remains to be seen. It looks like they're going to get crushed any moment now. Of course, their American partners are silent. We're too busy worrying about the democracy of Ukraine, even though it's not a democracy. It's a super corrupt, autocratic country. But our neighbors to the north, when they go full Putin, we're like, well, there's nothing we can do. We've invaded countries for this sort of behavior. And wrongly, might I add. And so, but there's a blueprint here that I think that we must study and we must look at very closely. Because what's occurring in Ottawa and Canada is going to be the roadmap of how they stunt, suppress, and stop the next 20, 30, 100 populist people-led movements that are going to be coming in the coming years, that are going to be bubbling up in the coming years. What you are seeing in Canada is the new type of technological, kinetic warfare that the World Economic Forum globalist elites are willing to use on their own citizens. What we're seeing happen and unfold in Canada is something that is worthy of study, because they tried this in a little sloppy way with the moms and dads, the school board issue, when Merrick Garland called them domestic terrorists. But as soon as you call someone a terrorist, then all of a sudden it gives you the ability to do other things under the law. You've seen this with their treatment of January 6 prisoners who are in solitary confinement without being actually, let's say, put forward with a crime. I mean, they're charged with a crime, but they've not found guilty. They even have a trial. These are pre-trial detentions, political prisoners in DC jails, about 30 or 40 of them. But in Canada, you're starting to see the Trudeau, Soros, and this woman Freeland, who we're going to get into, who have designed a new architecture. They've designed a new handcuff. They believe they are figuring out in real time how they can suffocate and handcuff the people of the planet from contesting for liberty and freedom. And it goes deeper than just showing up with armored vehicles and with tanks. No, it is, we're not going to allow you to spend money on things that we don't like. We're not going to allow you to be able to invest in causes that actually might be consistent with your values. It is going to be a full court press on your, not just your resources and your value that you have to distribute, but also your ideas. Now, of course, half the cabinet of Canada and the people going along with this, they are graduates from the Young Leaders Program of the World Economic Forum, which, of course, is the pet project of Klaus Schwab. He is the head of the World Economic Forum. But they're really worried because the citizen is rising across the world, but you don't think the empire is going to strike back? Yes, for all you Star Wars fans out there, you get the reference. And this is the empire striking back, the metaphorical group of, let's say, the Politburo. They need to try and find out different mechanisms and ways forward to be able to stop the people of France or the people of Spain or the people of Sacramento or Austin, Texas, from being effective, from going in the streets and actually being able to peaceably assemble. Put very simply, the World Economic Forum elites, the Davos people, the Davos activists, They are basically with a whiteboard willing to entertain. How do we crush these normal people? Because we're really annoyed with them. And it's going to shock you what is happening in Canada. Because this crackdown of what we are seeing of the people in the streets, okay, Canada's a dictatorship. There's a lot of different dictatorships. No, no, they're going a totally, let's just say, a deeper level and far more sophisticated than that. And it's important that every freedom lover, both in this country and around the world, understand that they're going to come for your banks. They're coming for your assets, all because you might participate in thought crimes. You say things we don't like, we're going to seize your bank account. You think I'm joking? Wait till you hear what's happening in Canada. With all the noise surrounding the topics of money and the economy, today, more than ever before, you need a financial guide that you can trust. That's why I trust Pax Financial Group. Not only do they share my conservative values, they are committed to putting your interests ahead of their own. Big Wall Street firms are forcing their political agendas into your investments, and it's time to stop giving your money to companies that don't share your values or use their profits, my profits, as a way to silence Christians. Pax is proud to offer an alternative called BRIs, Biblical Responsible Investing. Look, I got to know the people behind Pax Financial at a pro-life dinner in San Antonio. I got to know them, and they told me about biblical responsible investing, and at first, I wasn't really sure what to make of it. But as I got to know the team behind Pax Financial, we agreed to partner with them here on The Charlie Kirk Show. Biblical responsible investing supports and promotes our values of being pro-family and pro-life, and screens out companies that support pornography or anti-Christian or anti-conservative. If you have $150,000 or more in investments, text them, Charlie, at number 74868. Text them, just Charlie, right now to number 74868. They'll be able to schedule a 15-minute free, no-obligation consultation. I'm moving some of my money over to Pax Financial, and honestly, I hope they do well with it with some of the returns, but I'm happy that part of my portfolio will be able to go towards biblical responsible investing. I think they're going to crush it for me in the market, but I'll be able to know that my hard-earned dollars are not going towards pornography, anti-Christian, pro-BLM nonsense. You'll be connected with a financial advisor who will walk this through with you. Text Charlie at number 74868 today. Invest in companies that don't hate you. Invest in companies that I believe are actually consistent with biblical truths. Go to Biblical Responsible Investing. If that interests you, text right now to 74868. Just Charlie in the body there. Check it out right now. Brought to you by Pax Financial Group, PAX.
So there is a money war that is happening right now in Canada. So money is value. Money is a medium of exchange, or money should represent value. Money itself is actually not value, now that we're off the gold standard or the silver standard. Money is supposed to represent value. Money replaced the barter system. We've gone into detail of the economics of that. It's pretty simple, pretty straightforward, but it's important to remember that money is supposed to represent something. So when you have a successful political movement, first is a message that people agree with. You look at the Revolutionary War, it's that we are being oppressed by Britain. We believe in a natural rights doctrine. We don't believe in a let's say, a dictatorship from King George. And then, of course, the message then spreads to the people. So when you study political movements, and I've been part of a couple, and especially the Trump movement in 2015 and 16, which was probably the most, let's say, historically relevant one to what we're talking about right now, is that movements have many steps. So the first one, of course, is a message that people agree with, and then people start to grow around that message. But in order for movements to continue, and in order for movements to be effective, you actually need something that no one wants to talk about, which is you need money, you need assets. So in the Revolutionary War, they had a really good message. They had a growing population of people, but they needed money. Now, one of the people that actually helped finance the Revolutionary War was John Hancock. He never wore a uniform of the American side. He never wore a Continental Congress uniform ever. He was simply a financier. He was somewhat like a trust fund baby, but a very generous one.
Now, we know John Hancock most famously for his massive signature on the Declaration of Independence, but John Hancock was a financier. He was willing to put his money where his mouth was to actually help the people of the American colonies fight for liberty and for freedom. So Trudeau and his deputy vice minister of finance, I can't get her name, title, right, ever, whatever, the deputy minister of finance, whatever it is, vice minister of finance, her name is Chrystia Freeland, which I think is hilarious. Her last name is Freeland. It's incredibly ironic. It's like, yeah, my name is Freeland, and I'm now going to turn Canada into North Korea. And so she's finance minister Chrystia Freeland. Thank you. She's a World Economic Forum graduate. She is a George Soros sympathizing type individual. In fact, I think she ran the Open Society Foundation in one way or the other. She was an officer of the Open Society Foundation. And she has been very clear, and she has been quite forthright that, listen, if you participate in wrongthink, if you say things we don't like, we're going to take your money away. If you speak openly about, you know, what's happening in the country, otherwise known as Canada, then we're going to seize your assets. Now, this is something that I want to dive into because it's first of all, it's completely and totally unprecedented, but it's not just going into bank accounts. It's even deeper than this. Okay, let me play some tape on this. Play cut 97, where she has ordered banks to begin freezing accounts. We're going to come after your money. This is the confiscation of private property. Play cut 97.
Okay, so the names of both individuals and entities, as well as crypto wallets, have been shared by the RCMP with financial institutions, and accounts have been frozen, and more accounts will be frozen.
No court order. This is not like Al Qaeda is trying to traffic funds through Canada and a judge freezes the bank accounts. This is without a court order. This is without a warrant. She just wants to take your money away. Play cut 98, Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland, again, World Economic Forum graduate. Official says that if you have a truck in the convoy, your bank accounts will be frozen and your insurance will be suspended. So if you look at the new war, the new terrain, everybody, it's one thing to go bring people in the streets to try to take the protesters away. They are now willing to take your money and your assets, and they'll just do it overnight. Play cut 98.
If your truck is being used in these protests, your corporate accounts will be frozen. The insurance on your vehicle will be suspended. The consequences are real, and they will bite.
So as a result of this, all of a sudden, the major banks in Canada are offline. Why? Well, she might have intentionally or unintentionally created a bank run. Because if you think your bank accounts are going to be frozen, then why would you still bank with those people? Is this part of a strategy to break the Canadian currency? Do you think your homeowner's insurance covers home title fraud? Well, think again. And neither does your common identity theft programs. The FBI calls title fraud, home title fraud, one of the fastest growing crimes in the country, which is why you need to go to HomeTitleLock.com, America's leader in home title protection. So here's the issue. The deed to your home is the only document that proves you own it. And the deed to all your homes are online now. In minutes, a criminal could find and forge your name off the deed to your home and refile it as the new owner. Like Jeff, who spent a fortune in legal fees after a thief forged himself onto the deed to Jeff's home and took out loans. Jeff didn't have home title lock then, but he does now. Or Deborah, who thought her common identity theft service would protect her after a criminal got onto the deed to her new home and had her evicted. Deborah has home title lock now. HomeTitleLock.com is your peace of mind that the deed to your home is protected. Visit HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com. Check it out right now. HomeTitleLock.com.
It's just so difficult to see what's happening in Canada and to see the erosion of freedom and liberty in a nation that I visited when I was young and I grew up there. It's It's really turning into a third world dictatorship, and that is not an exaggeration at all. So the people who gave money to the truckers have now basically been doxxed. They have been publicized. Well, one of them is a woman by the name of Tammy Giuliani. She was doxxed for donating $250 to the Canadian truckers. The regime of Canada and the World Economic Freedom regime of Klaus Schwab and all these people, they want to broaden how they want to expand, I think is a better way to say it, what is considered fair game in a crackdown. Play cut 90.
So I reached into my personal pocket and I pulled out $250 of my personal money and I gave a donation to fill a gas tank of someone so they didn't have to sleep in minus 30 in the cold that night. And I think that decision speaks to my humanity and not to political beliefs. But attacking our children, attacking our team, that's unconscionable.
But it's not surprising. Tammy Giuliani continues talking to Jesse Waters. Cut 91.
You know, we have been called terrorists for the first 36 hours. We were inundated with hatred, with threats of violence. People threatened our team on the phone, telling them we're coming to get you. We're going to throw bricks through your window. You'll pay for this, you Nazi supporter. I personally have been called a disgusting pig of a woman and that I should rot in hell.
Well, yeah, that is typical of the left. They will personalize the politics of it and try to destroy your life. Now, as they clamp down on the banks, all of a sudden you're starting to see some very suspicious activity, though, occur in Canadian banks. Many of the banks have gone completely and mysteriously offline. Is there a bank run happening in Canada? And if so, was it intentional? ZeroHedge.com, days after Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said he would invoke emergency orders to crack down on demonstrators by freezing their bank accounts, five major Canadian banks went offline on Wednesday night as customers reported their funds were unavailable, according to a technology website, Bleeping Computer. Now, this is really important that estimates show that there would only be about 2% of assets in the bank itself. And so it's basically what is the deposit rate? So if everyone went to go withdraw their money at once, otherwise known as a bank run, and best probably known in It's a Wonderful Life, it would break the back of the entire currency system or banking system as we know it in the Western world. And so an important point here is that if the government doesn't like you, they will just take your money. And there's a word for that. It's theft, and it's been happening in a variety of different ways. Theft via inflation, theft via lockdowns, all these different sorts of things. Everyone in Canada and also in America, we're going to talk about that, who doesn't agree with Justin Trudeau about this should take your money out immediately. So what's the criteria? You know, some of you might be saying, okay, these might be some radical guys. What are they, trafficking guns? Are they bringing children across the border? Are they involved in fentanyl coming into the hinterlands of Canada? Are they trying to plan terrorist attacks? I mean, come on, they wouldn't just be restricting banking access to everyone. Well, the criteria in order to have your bank shut down is this. Play cut 103.
A lot of folks says, look, I just don't like your vaccine mandates and I donated to this. Now it's illegal. Should I be worried that the bank can freeze my account? What's your answer to that?
Well, I think if you are a member of a pro-Trump movement who's donating hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions of dollars to this kind of thing, then you ought to be worried.
That is the Justice Minister of Canada who is saying that if you have pro-Trump views, yeah, you better be worried. We're gonna seize your assets, including, by the way, crypto wallets. And now this was always the promise, in my opinion, of crypto assets and cryptocurrencies, is that governments could not regulate it. They're figuring it out. In fact, yesterday, again, this goes to this theme of how they are changing their, let's say, plan. They're changing their ability. They're changing their perspective on how to actually crack down on populist movements. Is that breaking in the last couple of days, I think it came out yesterday, Department of Justice officially announced that there's a new division of DOJ focused solely on digital currency. FBI to form digital currency unit, and the Justice Department taps the new crypto czar. U.S. Justice Department has tapped a seasoned computer crimes prosecutor to lead its new national cryptocurrency enforcement team. Announcement on Thursday that the FBI is launching a unit for blockchain analysis and virtual asset seizure. Wait a second. So the Canadian finance minister says if you have pro-Trump views, we're going to seize your crypto assets in Canada. Chrystia Freeland says that we're going to freeze your bank accounts. All the while, the Department of Justice in America is launching a unit for blockchain analysis and, quote, virtual asset seizure. Is that a coincidence? No, it feels like a triangulation. The creation of the FBI's virtual asset exploitation unit comes after the Justice Department's largest ever financial seizure earlier this month. It charged a married New York couple for allegedly laundering bitcoins valued at over $4 billion that were stolen in a 2016 hack of the digital currency exchange Bitfinex, or Bitfinex. I'm sure I mispronounced that. U.S. regulators under President Biden have been ratcheting up their scrutiny of the crypto industry, of course, because they can't control it, in the wake of a series of high-profile cyber attacks last year on the largest U.S. fuel pipeline network and the world's largest beef supplier, ransomware groups often demand their fees in Bitcoin. Now, the reason why the regime hates Bitcoin is because they can't control it. It's because they can't centralize it. Is that the technology of blockchain is, by definition, decentralized. It's transparent. And so you put all this together, you realize that money funds movements. Money is necessary. First comes a message, then comes the people, then you need the assets to actually make the movement itself happen. Now, sound money is necessary for a civil society. Sound and transparent money. We have far from sound money in our country, but as we have become a hyper-technological society, it's not like you just go up to the truckers and give them wads of cash. There's a cash shortage as well. There's a coin shortage. So the last vector that exists, and again, it's not going to be very, very difficult for some of these governments to regulate because the technology itself it's pretty compelling, is going to be the following. It's that they are going to try to stop all flows of capital and money to be able to go towards causes that they don't like. This is a warning shot, everybody. Now, whether or not the Canadian banks actually collapse and there is a bank run is in some ways a separate issue. Instead, you should ask yourself right now, where's your money? If you are banking with JP Morgan Chase or Wells Fargo or any of these major banks, what's to say they're not going to do the same very soon? Is it really your money? Is it really your money that's in there? Now, I'll give you an example. At Turning Point USA, we're ready for this. And so there's First International Bank. They're just friends of mine. This is not an ad or anything. I'm just telling you that it's owned by Steve Stenhelm. They're an amazing company. They love America. And they're a local bank, first and foremost. They're not this like woke bank industrial complex. And I told my team, let's open an account. Let's start to, begin the process of that. And they have locations in Arizona, South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota. And we need to start to diversify where our capital is, because if you have all of your money right now in Wells Fargo or in any of these other places, they're going to come after you. Same could be said, by the way, for our friends Andrew and Todd, andrewandtodd.com, where we partner with them on our program and they help with mortgages. We do everything we possibly can through our perspective, because the next war, everybody, the next battle right around the hill, right around the corner, is when they're going to start to seize the money in your bank account, your cryptocurrencies, your line of credit. They're going to shut down your business. They're going to prevent you from being able to do payroll. And if you don't believe me, look what's happening right now in Canada, where the justice minister is like, yeah, if you have pro-Trump views, you should be worried. We're going to seize your assets. And it might first be at the state-based level, it might then be at a regional level. And look what's happening in Minnesota, by the way, to Mike Lindell. Mike Lindell, they shut down Mike Lindell's bank accounts from my store because they didn't like his politics. Money is necessary. It's not everything. Money just can't create movements. You look at how many failed movements the left has had that have been well-funded. But it starts with a message, then people, and then money. You need all three to have a successful political movement. And the left has tried to restrict the message through social media. They try to restrict the people through infiltration and federal government involvement and things like that. But if those two things fail and all of a sudden you have this big movement that's building, they're going to try to restrict the ability for capital to flow towards movements that are working. They want to stop momentum through bank seizures, crypto asset seizures, and flat-out intimidation. If you haven't heard, the world premiere of Daily Wire's Shut-In has reached over 500,000 views. That's more than a Don Lemon episode and currently has an audience score of 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. The Daily Wire worked night and day not just to make this film, but to make it one worth watching, and they did. While being directed by DJ Caruso, The Daily Wire produced a film, and it's really, really good. The film is now exclusively streaming for Daily Wire members, and if you're not one, then you're missing out. Support conservatives making movies, support movies without a woke agenda, and support The Daily Wire and head to dailywire.com/subscribe. dailywire.com/subscribe and get a membership today. Use code CHARLIE for 25% off your new membership. The Daily Wire has some great friends of mine, Candace, Ben, Michael Knowles, Matt Walsh, and more. dailywire.com/subscribe, promo code CHARLIE. And this might be their first original production, but it will not be their last. The Daily Wire also released a new trailer for Hyper Ions, the anti-superhero movie starring Cary Elwes, which comes out in a few weeks. Terror on the Prairie, our new Western, starring the uncancelable Gina Carano, coming this summer. So check it out right now, dailywire.com/subscribe. Use promo code CHARLIE for 25% off. The War Powers Act, or the Emergency Powers Act, I should say, has been implemented in Canada. They're basically under martial law because a group of truckers decided to go to Ottawa and have basically a block party to try to rescind vaccine mandates and rescind mask mandates. Now, basically, Trudeau has compared these people to terrorists, and I know we focus a lot on Trudeau. Trudeau obviously isn't an American leader, but someone like Trudeau is going to come to America very soon if we do not get our act together. Someone who's young, charismatic, smug, super beta male, doesn't really understand what the country stands for, but is willing to use force as a coping mechanism for his deconstructionist globalist type agenda. Now, when BLM was literally burning churches, by the way, do you know the trucker convoy has burned zero churches, has harmed no one, zero people? But when that was happening in Canada, Trudeau says, look, I can understand the anger against people that burn churches. We need to understand their anger when 30 churches burned in Canada. Play cut 101.
As I've also said, it is unacceptable and wrong that acts of vandalism and arson are being seen across the country, including against Catholic churches. One of my reflections is I understand the anger that's out there against the federal government, against institutions like the Catholic Church. It is real, and it is fully understandable given the shameful history that we're all becoming more and more aware of.
So yeah, the anger against the Catholics, totally understandable. Anger against the federal government, understandable. But when people's livelihoods are restricted because they don't want to take a vaccine that doesn't work, or masks that have no utility and are ruining children's ability to speak freely, then all of a sudden Justin Trudeau says, bring in the stormtroopers, seize their bank accounts, get rid of their cryptocurrency. What's going on here? What's going on here? There's a divide in Canada. Canadians, they're going to have to really dig deep and do their best American impersonations because this is not something that they're used to. They do not have a history of rebellion. They're an agreeable people. And let me be very clear. The Canadians have always fought side by side with us in our wars and in our time of great need. However, I will say this. The Canadians, and they're holding the line in Ottawa. They really are. But the fact this is even being tolerated is extraordinary. Now, they're showing a lot more gusto than Americans in a lot of different ways. I have to say that. But this is really going to push them to the limit. I'm telling you, because Trudeau, when you have no bank accounts, no insurance, they're going to take your truck away. They're going to take all of your assets as you know it completely and just make them disappear. And then they're also going to arrest you in the streets. That's a full court press. Now, what is it? What mandates a full court press? Are cities burning to the ground? Is there widespread arson? Is there murder? Is there looting? No, of course not. There's truckers that are honking their horns because they want to get their rights back that were never given to them by the government, given to them by God naturally upon birth, and they just want them back because the government has decided to take them away. And again, this is really important. Trudeau always frames himself as this happy-go-lucky liberal who just wants to accept other people and work for tolerance. That's never true. We know that. Liberalism is a means to the end of fascism. At the root of every liberal, Canadian liberal, is a fascist who would be willing to use police force. Now, why the police are going along with this, I do not understand that. I don't. And people say, oh, well, you know, it's just following orders. Yeah, that doesn't really go well, actually, when people said, yeah, you know, I just followed orders that Stalin gave me. Oh, really? Okay. Well, you were complicit. Now, I'm not comparing the atrocities of Stalin to Canada. I'm simply making a general, let's say, ecosystem comparison that they're both different flavors of tyranny. I just followed orders. People say, yeah, that's not a defense, actually. It's not. You're going to go arrest your fellow countrymen. You're going to go arrest veterans that are now truck drivers and they drove into Ottawa and they just honked their horns and you're going to arrest them, take their fuel away, take their diesel away, take their firewood away, take their bank accounts away, take their crypto assets away. Why? Because they have quote unquote pro-Trump views. That is not a free society. It's the opposite, actually. Are these bouncy castles that are in downtown Ottawa a threat to the Trudeau administration or the Trudeau regime? I'm looking at videos right now. Tactical and riot units have arrived in Ottawa. Every single one of these guys, these stormtroopers, if they decide to lay hands on Canadian citizens, I hate to say it, they're complicit. They should lay down their arms, turn their back on the government, and stand in solidarity with the citizens. Following orders is not an excuse. I know it's hard. You could lose something. Yeah, welcome to the fight for liberty. You gotta lose something if you want to have liberty. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our show, it's charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.